coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, Steve Quayle touched on it yesterday. You wonder why, or maybe you don't wonder why, DNA modification through mRNA, modified RNA, you know, why now? And of course, Steve Quayle has been through Gen 6 expeditions, has been working with Jesse G, of course, to find artifacts. And with me, this is a continuation from yesterday. Today is Friday, September 22nd. This is the broadcast for Friday, September 22nd, 2023. And again, with me, Steve Quayle and Jesse G, to continue our conversation. And instead of going to Steve, I'm going to go right to Jesse G. But first, I just want to mention, folks, please watch the trailer again from yesterday. Also, go to gen6.com. The product is Mexico Alien Artifacts Unearthed. That's a working title. And of course, there will be a DVD that is going to be so important for you to really grab a hold of. But Jesse, I want to ask you a question. I've been dying to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you this now. I'm a lay person. I'm an investigator, but I'm a lay person in terms of what you do. What do you do? Take me out, if you don't mind. I meet you at a certain location, and you say to me, hey, we're going to go out, and we are going to do what we do for Gen 6, our exploration, our finding of artifacts. Just walk me through what you do.
Okay, that's a good question, Doug, but it's nothing like that.
Oh, okay.
Let me try to elaborate on it, and maybe I could paint a more detailed picture of what it is that you're asking. The dangers are always there, but the dangers are everywhere now. Within the times that we're living, it's just that they're extremely intensified when entering into certain territories. But the thing is, Doug, is that small town that you mentioned in yesterday's show, when you first read on Waldemar, on Jules Red Waldemar, the German archaeologist or amateur archaeologist who was making these extraordinary or circumstantial amount of discoveries within this town. Well, that little town that's mentioned there is the same town that my father was born. And oh, wow. I've been going there. It's called Acámbaro, and it's probably at that time it was, I would estimate, a population of no more than 50,000. It's probably quadrupled in numbers since then, but at that time it was considered the metropolis town of the area. It's connected to a bunch of other little small villages, and these small villages, this is a small village to the south of it, that's not too well known. It's named Chupicuaro, Guanajuato. And in this town that's connected to Acámbaro, where Jules Red Waldemar was making his discoveries, there's also a numerous and circumstantial amount of artifacts still being extracted up to this day. So, like, even if you were to go to this place you would, going, connecting with the right people, you would be led to these particular areas where the artifacts are being discovered. And even back then, when I was a kid and I used to go visit my grandpa with my father, my uncles used to talk of, pottery, artifacts, figurines being pulled up out of the dirt. But, my dad, my uncles and all of them, they weren't educated on the fact. They didn't care about that. So, you know, it was just something that they briefly mentioned and, you know, brushed it away. And it wasn't until my cousin, who's like a brother to me, bought some land that's connected to that. You see, that's one state. It is the state called Guanajuato, and it's connected to the state of Michoacán. And there's a distance between from city to city from where we did our first expedition. There's probably a distance of 150 miles, but throughout that 150 mile expanse, and there's different patches that you can go to in different certain particular areas where you can hit that you will find these types of artifacts. So there's no shortage. After I first began, I continued extending my research and networking with people who are into this same type of stuff and are, you know, giving reports. Of course, the internet has made it easier to connect with these people and see what it is that they're finding. But the thing I'm trying to say is that right now, Mexico is probably the most Mexico is the red zone, not only for artifacts, but I believe for extraterrestrial activity over our skies. And the thing is that when I'm going through these small towns investigating and searching out these artifacts, the danger is always there. The cartel is always there, but before I leave or decide to embark on one of these adventures, I always fast and pray, because I understand that, you know, I'm going into a red zone, and I don't always make a high emphasis, or I pretty much basically don't think of it, because I come from a very extreme hostile background, you know, to say the least. And I'm pretty much familiar with, you know, this type of lifestyle. The activities that they do, it's nothing new to me. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have a different mentality, and I don't wish harm on nobody. But, you know, just how Abraham was called of, you know, out of the Chaldees, you know, from idolatry, and Paul was called from, you know, from an intense background of Christian persecution, and doing all that he did, you know, my background is similar to that. And so I believe when I begin to think of the intensity and the hostility, the violence and the dangers that are all around me when I go into these places, it's nothing new to me. It's not like I think of something that can happen to me that probably hasn't already been tried on me, or something that I haven't experienced or seen. On one occasion, while I was, I think I was in the first year of running these investigations, because this didn't happen overnight. Like, we weren't able to get access to these sites immediately. We tried, I think, for 2 years before we gained actual, before we were able to get into these sites. The first site that introduced me to these artifacts was owned by one of my brothers, who's my cousin, but he's my blood cousin. So we grew up really close together, who now he is a surgeon. And he's an orthopedic surgeon in Mexico City. He's one of the best. And he bought some land in Michoacán, which since then, Michoacán has been, I think it varies from number one and number two on the scale for the most dangerous countries or places to be in the world because of the cartel activity. But like I said, you know, when I'm going into these places and you know, you pass through these small towns to get from one place to another, trying to find the best location or communicate with the people, to maybe work something out where they will let us in and do an excavation. This was in the beginning. The second expedition was easier to get into because of the first. After we did the first trailer, it became pretty popular over here in Mexico, and people began inviting me to different locations, and that's how we were led to Tula, where we did the second expedition. But Tula itself is pretty extreme and pretty hostile territory. There's probably about off the top of my mind, there's probably about seven other states within Mexico that are yet that I know real artifacts are coming out. That I know that I know that these are places that are legit. And just like everything else, though, anything that has any substance. Or that has any substance that has any value, you're always going to get people that are going to duplicate. You're always going to get people that are going to, you know, falsify because of its value, and you know, try to make money off of it. But this is the reason why we have done the things in the way that we have brought them forth to the people, step by step. I've recorded the process on camera so that the people can see what it is that, for the most part, what it is that we've experienced, and how it is that we're able to mount this evidence and continue to bring it forth to the people. And this is something that we will continue to do, but try to bring it to the people in different ways. It's extremely important for me that that me and Steve and the rest of the team continue to mount the evidence and bring it to the people. There's this saying I have that I hold on to dearly, and you know, there's different types of investigative researchers and the type of investigative researcher that I am is the type that desires nothing more in my heart than to bring the people the physical, tangible evidence that will back up every theory that we bring to you. There's the type of researchers and investigators who do a fine job. You know, there's a lot of them out there, and they're extremely bright and intelligent, and you know, they bring good content. But it to me, the way I see the content that they bring is it's in theory, and it's gathered from a lot of other good information that's out there. Because I'm not trying to knock anybody, you know, for what they do, and I know that for the most part, people do the best that they can from where they're at. And fortunately for us, with Steve Quell and Gen 6 Productions, we find ourselves in a position where we had the grace of God to put us in a place where we can bring tangible evidence to the people. I believe that there's nothing more important than to bring this physical, tangible evidence to back every quote and theory. I also believe that I wouldn't feel comfortable if I just sat here and, you know, gave my personal theories to the people without truly gathering or presenting them with physical, tangible evidence. I call a theory without physical, tangible evidence, I call it a fiat theory. It's kind of like the dollar that has nothing to back it up. So it's extremely important for me to be put in a position through prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord and supplication so that he may put me in a supernatural and an extraordinary position where we can continue to bring people the evidence. I believe I've mentioned this to Steve a couple of times that, you know, whether people choose to embrace it, whether people choose to believe it or not, we're going to continue to bring it to you. We're not running away from this. And God is going to continue to open new doors, and God is going to continue to show us new things. He's going to continue to put us in extraordinary positions where we will be able to, where we will be able to continue to bring everybody the evidence that's necessary to try to help, to try to help to wake people up and allow them to understand the seriousness of what it is and the times that we are living in. Now, I want to use some scripture to correlate what it is that I'm trying to say with the pieces that are found, the importance of these discoveries that have been presented to you. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter, he is making reference to the prophet Joel. And he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." And then Peter goes to continue to quote Joel, and he says, "I will show wonders in heaven above." So I believe that a lot of the extraterrestrial activity, the UFO, UAP, whatever you want to call it, I believe that a lot of it, God is exposing it. We know that the enemy likes to work in darkness, and I believe that a lot of the times, you know, God is removing the cloak so that we can openly see what it is that's moving and operating, not only above us, but also descending, coming down here to earth and operating from within our midst. But then Peter goes on to say, after he says, "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath." I believe that this is one of, I believe that these artifacts is connected to this verse in that way. I believe that this is a sign given to us from God so that we can see what it is that we're dealing with and the severity of the descriptions and the severity of the images that are given in description to these artifacts and what it is that these artifacts are saying through the iconography and the glyphs. The activity, the interaction between fallen angels, aliens, and what it is that the main theme to these artifacts is the corruption of the seed of man, just as Steve mentioned earlier.
And hey, Jesse,
yeah.
Let's have Eric put up the pyramid with the obviously the aliens and the double helix. Of course, they don't call it DNA. Eric, it's the one you put up earlier, and we asked you if you could freeze that
and
one.
And while we're doing that, Steve, I don't know if you've noticed this. Jesse, I'm going to just mention this. It seems like we're getting some feedback there from wherever you might be at. If you can go back to where where you were before.
Let me move. I'm sorry, man.
No worries, but it could be distracting to those people listening.
Yeah. Okay, is this better?
We'll find out, and Eric the tech will put up there it is, a graphic. Steve, go ahead, sir.
Can you split screen the graphic with me, Eric?
We can't do that.
Okay, then just put up the graphic and I'll put voiceover on it, and then we'll turn it over to Jesse. One of the questions I get asked a lot is, why don't you guys bring this stuff into the States? Well, it's real simple. The FBI would seize the artifacts under the NAGPRA Act, that anything, they've got a way to sit on everything so it stays in Mexico. It's secured in Mexico. And somebody's actually got me, said, well, if I want to pay to go down and see them, can I see them? My answer to that is absolutely, but I want to share this with you. This stands for anybody. Number one, Tijuana is the fifth most dangerous town now in the world. Jesse just talked about. So five of the worst places in the world for murder, he's in one of them. Number two, I would love nothing more than to bring Jesse here with the artifacts, but the devils that are would not allow it. So if I can have the screen up, Eric, I can't see it. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I can click on it. Okay, now I got it. what you're seeing right there are two aliens that got wings. And if you notice, ladies and gentlemen, the DNA double helix, they don't call it DNA. Scroll down. There you go. What we're watching is an absolute representation of the iconography. And then when you go down a little further, or actually up on the obelisk, you'll see the famous Egyptian symbol of the, you know, the wings. The important thing is, Doug, if you look at the aliens too, now scroll back down to the aliens a little, please, Eric. You'll see the infamous purse in the background. The purse is something that's so interesting because all, there you go, right there, the little deal. Everything in all of the Babylonian, Sumerian, all of the Atlantean, the stuff that's attributed to Atlantis, every one of those steles or stone carvings always has a purse. They're talking about what it is. My opinion, it's a control, and this is based on the artifacts that Jesse's found and some of the language to our Glyptionary project has been able to decipher. But that's a control mechanism for the gates, the stargates, what people would call portals. And what's interesting, if you look at this, and if you'll pull back a little bit now, Eric, if you take this in the context and you start at the bottom up, you're seeing something unusual. You're seeing an obelisk of the genetic tampering through two creatures. Look at their heads. And one of the things that Jesse found that's no one, and it was found during our excavation number two, was the aliens with a horizontal. This would be considered more of a vertical skull, more like the Paraca skull. But in the trailer and in the main, by the way, Doug, I want to make it clear, the DVD set are four DVDs. It was called Double Density. So it's like 6 or 7 hours. So the excavation expeditions are, I think, close to 4 hours. And then Jesse's got an interview. And listening to Jesse's interview, most people would be blown away. And I've got, the stuff I'm talking about, sharing with people why this is so critical at this moment. And Daniel Holdings, who wrote the script, God bless him, has done a marvelous job in addressing the things he had to try and incorporate into a film. So in essence, people will need to know, we'll have the pre-order available, but it's a series of four DVDs, not just one. So going on, Eric, if you can turn the, or, you know, I don't know if you have to, this is off of a movie, it's a freeze frame. Jesse, when you see, and we're on film, well, actually, you're on film, in the expedition, the actual digs, is it unusual to you to see the double helix, meaning the DNA, so prominently featured?
Steve, I think that if the first expedition that we did in 2021, the double helix didn't come out as much, or I don't even think it came out once. Yep. And you know what I'm saying? And the second expedition, it was all over the artifacts. It was just about on almost every single one that we extracted from the ground. And I believe that's also, signal from the Lord telling us, hey, this is what's happening. And I mean, we don't have to look deep in, into the barriers of our society and our culture to see, to know, and to understand that this is what they're doing. I mean, they're about to bring in the second COVID variant. I mean, the second COVID variant's already on the move. So basically what they want to do is what they did before, is continue to change our DNA. And I believe that the double helix being on so many of these artifacts is a sign from the Lord letting us know that, hey, wake up, people, this is serious, what's happening. And it's not just that, but it's also the activity that's happening all around us and over our skies. And it's not just that. The activity that's happening over our skies is the type of similar activity and interaction that's happening within
you know, every major platform, whether it be Hollywood or the music industry or any other type of corporation, these hybrids, in my theory and opinion, based upon not only what I've read in the Bible, but what I'm reading and interpreting from these artifacts, is that they are operating from every walk of life and have infiltrated our society and our culture, continuing to accelerate depravity, pushing us away, attempting us to put us in a place where humanity will be unredeemable and unrecognized by God, as that is the main purpose to everything. These entities don't care about money. These entities don't care about anything. These are the things that they're using to seduce man in order for them to get us or them or anybody who's working with them to sway in their direction and to carry out their wicked, nefarious schemes. That's what it is. But the thing is also this, Steve, is as I was mentioning earlier, is, you know, like, I have this thing, this thing that I believe that God has put inside of me, where I'm looking to him to bring us to where we need to be. I'm looking to him to provide to us the everything that's necessary in order for us to bring physical, tangible evidence. Now, since the day that you've met me, Steve, I mean, the first time I had a conversation with you on the phone, like my first story to you was, These beings try to take me. And I know that sounded pretty crazy back then. You know, that was my first testimony to you. It was like, they try to take me and they try to do this and they try to do that. But the thing is this, Steve, is that I am so familiar with their movement and their operation and how they function and what they're doing, that even what we're working on now, Steve, is to bring the same type of physical and tangible evidence that's given in description in these artifacts. The same type of depictions on the pictionography, the glyphs, is the same type of activity that's happening right now within our midst and within our society. But not only so, over our skies, coming out the oceans, and you know, Steve, that's what we're doing right now. And I believe that through being in position in the right way and giving the Lord the reverence, the praise, the honor, and the glory to everything that we've done, he's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to put us in monumental situations where we could bring extraordinary evidence to the people, because that's where my heart is at for the people. Is, Lord, There's a lot of people that are speaking against your work that we're doing. There's a lot of people that are coming against us. But Lord, I know that you're with us. And I know that it's you. And I know that it's only because of your grace that we have been able to do what we've done up to this point. And I know that it is because of your grace and your mercy that we will be able to do what's to come in the future. And what's to come in the future is what we're dealing with. The manifestation, the function, and the operation of these fallen angels who operate as orbs, shift, and transform into craft, which they are all synonymous in one. And that's what we're working, and that's what we're going to work on right now. And this is what we're going to bring to the people is, and for the, you know, for the people, not, I don't say this in derision, and I'm not saying this in anger, bitterness, or hate towards anyone, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to keep coming, and we're going to keep presenting the evidence, and we're going to keep bringing it to the people. And guess what? God is going to do it for us.
Well, I'm sorry. It's really critical, everyone, that you hear this, because this is the prime directive. And when Jesus said, and never lose track of the words of Jesus, they're terrified. They, the fallen ones, Lucifer, and again, Jesse, I got to address this. Lucifer demands his worshipers, true Luciferians, to worship him in his pre-fallen name when he was still the light bringer. Satan means adversary. Obviously, at one point, he's Lucifer. At another point, he's the adversary. But what's critical is that in all of the artifacts, especially from the second expedition, is the glyphs, the translation of the glyphs, absolutely spell out, Doug, just like we were told what was going to happen to Russ before God took him home, you know, the glyphs absolutely tell us this. And this is why we're in a catch-22. We're praying for favor. We're praying for people that want to help us with a legacy, because the Glyph Project is simultaneous. It's a left and right hand. Jesse's in the field. He's locating, finding, identifying the obvious, the obvious iconography, just like the double wings. That's the sun god Ra. And then the all-seeing eye of Horus. Or last week when the president of Germany had a patch on saying, I'm one of them. The point being is that to determine all of these symbols is a massive undertaking. And when Jesse gets the readout on some of the symbols that appear on these artifacts, what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, some of these are total hymnals to Lucifer. And again, all I can say, Doug, is that it's tough to get people to understand what's at stake, I guess is a good word, is that we're at a time that Jesus specifically defined that if God our Father did not shorten the days of the Electric, there'd be no human DNA left. And Jesse, this is critical. Of all of the people from different walks of life, different actually scientific realms that have helped us on the Glyph Project, most of them donated their time, or it would have been, you know, $10, $20 million project. But the thing that astounded them is the total, Doug, listen to this, the total focus on human DNA. They were blown away because as they got more sophisticated in their translations, but this is across the board. In other words, if you take 500,000 glyphs, symbols, sigils, you know, everything, and when you start, by the grace of God, being able to decipher 125,000, by the way, that's not my expertise, it's those guys, they have discipline. The bottom line is that it becomes overwhelming, Doug, the amount of evidence. And then you see new bioweapons being planned. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, what's critical, this isn't us. Jesse, when we're digging up stuff that from the town your dad was born in, you know, or, you know, the point is we're seeing written in stone, if you will, a total narration. And so what we have, Doug, and feedback on this, Doug, you have the official lying narrative that's controlled. You have the official lying narrative that's contained. You have the official lying narrative that's contained and controlled now being trickled out only at the benefit of the elite's ability to seduce. Then, on the other hand, you've got the people out here that God and you know, you're part of the team, Doug, I'm part of the team, and the people that have helped us with our fundraisers or bought the DVTs, you guys are part of the team. And that's why we decided, and I think it was the Lord's leading, to show everybody, every shovel. I thought there's a shot in one of the shots in the movie, the documentary, where Jesse's down in a hole. He's got it looks like a Swiss Army knife, and he's cutting a vine out of the way with a Swiss Army knife. And, I mean, it's things like that. It's, ladies and gentlemen, it is authentic. By the way, I have I don't know if I told you this, Jesse, but our cameraman was terrified when you guys went in the first night into Tula, okay? He called me and he said, Steve, we're just down the street. Eight guys just got murdered. I think you guys arrived, what, the night of the day that they all got murdered, something like that. But but our cameraman said this, and you know, and he's had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, but he did say this. He said, I thought all this crap, those were his words, I thought it was all fake. And he said, Steve, when I'm down in the hole with Jesse, when I'm watching this, he said, it blew my mind. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to take my word for that. But there are all these eyewitnesses watching this. If you're going to, you know, again, Doug, as an investigator, when is it that if you come to the click point? Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. When it all clicks and you know your investigation has led to the right conclusion. When?
I'm not sure what you're asking, Steve. At what point does that happen?
Okay, I'll be very specific. When you are investigating a crime or whatever you're investigating, at what point do you know that where all the evidence comes together and it's not open to discussion because the preponderance of evidence and all of the ancillary investigation all leads to the same conclusion?
Well, my answer to that would be when I am provided with or otherwise obtain a piece of evidence, necessary piece of evidence that connects all of the dots together. If that's what you're asking, again, I'm uncertain. But, you know, at that point or alternatively, when the circumstances, because cases are built on circumstantial evidence, when the circumstantial evidence is sufficient to prove whatever the situation might warrant the proof to be.
Right. The first thing you said, Doug, and I think Jesse would agree, when all the points are brought together,
yes,
when all of the data points, when all of the artifacts, when all of the glyphs, and ladies and gentlemen, again, we're talking about presenting a picture that first and foremost is biblical. Second of all, Jesus said, "See that ye be not deceived." That's the deception is going to be beyond anything in human history. So when all of the points, Doug, you said it, are brought together, and that's what the expedition video, four of them, and it'll be for sale. It'll have a pre-sale price, and it'll go up on Vimeo for people. You can download it, but you can view it however many times you want and whatever. I don't know what the charge is going to be yet, but we're at this point where you can't escape all of the revelations of the mRNA vaccination, all the graphene, all of the manipulation of the human genome to the point of destroying the human genome, the transsexual, the metrosexual, the mutilation. And I call those people, Jesse, mutilants, okay? Not mutants, mutilants. Mutilants are people that absolutely will go to the ultimate extent to destroy humanity. And we get that portrayed in some of the most horrific panels. And I want to share this. The entire Genesis 6 narrative is about basically the fallen angels liked what human sexuality seemed to present in pleasures. And they basically wanted to be like us. And God said, no, I created the image. I created my image likeness and human beings. And that's where the basis of jealousy is. That's why you're seeing the sexual perversion that you are. And some of the stuff, out of good taste, we won't show on the screens. Is that accurate, Jesse? Go ahead and take it.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate on everything that you said, Steve. And it's not just in one area. It's in every single area. And I believe that the endeavor that we're taking upon right now, and what it is that we're planning to bring to the people, is just as extremely important. It's extremely important to me because, you know, I'm looking, my intentions and how it is that I'm perceiving the situation on what it is that, on how it is that we plan to present the next piece that goes to this puzzle is in actual time. Just as it was previously, but what we were doing, what we did previously, and everything that the people get to witness and testify, as you know, we're extracting piece by piece, walking them through it. It's the evidence, and it's the evidence of their presence. It's the evidence of their footprints and their fingerprints. Of what it is that they have been doing and what it is that they're doing now, but it's also us bringing to them that this is who and what we're dealing with when we're seeing what we're seeing up in the skies. This is what, you know, my intentions are to bring to the people. In addition to this, because, like, I'm grateful for what we've brought to the people. I'm very grateful to the Lord and the accomplishment and the victory that he has given us. To me, this is a victory
that goes forward in biblical proportion. And it doesn't matter what people who come against us say. It doesn't matter to me, Steve. There's only one thing that matters to me, and that's what God is saying. And God's telling me to get up and keep moving forward. It doesn't matter how other people are trying to cut us down or minimize the work that we're doing. God is going to put us in a position where he's going to let it be known that he is with us. We're coming to a time, Steve, where all of our work, not just ours, but everybody out there who claims to be doing something for the Lord, and those who claim to be doing something for the Lord, and maybe they're not, maybe they are, that's for the Lord to know. But I know one thing for sure, is that we have come and we are on the precipice of the time where God is no longer going to stand by. He's no longer going to just sit and watch people do what they think that they can do using his name. We're coming to the time, and I know this for a fact. I don't just see a bunch of devils and deal with a bunch of entities and not have God speak to me. When you're fighting for God, he will show you who's up against you. He will show you who's up against you in detail. I think he showed me a little bit too much in detail when I wake up sometimes in the morning and I feel it. But the thing is this, Steve, just like I was saying, we're here. We're on the precipice of the moment where all of our work is going to be tried by fire. And those that are for God, God is going to approve us before the people. And those who are not, he's going to expose them. And I know for certain that we're going to continue to be here. And I know for certain that we're going to continue to bring good things to the people, even though sometimes the message that we bring, it's not easy to take in all of this information. I'll tell you one thing. It's not easy to deal with the spiritual warfare on the levels that I deal with it. I have nights where I just completely face down on my bed and I can't get up. Why? Because I'm under attack. And then I ask the Lord, Lord, why am I under attack like this? It's because you're dealing with something on another level. And it's important for you to overcome it and defeat it now, so that you don't have to be dealing with it later in the future, to where it is that I know that I'm going to bring that, to where it is that I know that he communicates to me that he is going to bring me. So the thing is this, is that no matter what or how things turn out, I know that we are soon to come upon and enter into a place where God is going to demonstrate and he's going to show himself on our behalf and approve the things that we are doing for him now.
Well, I think that's true, Doug. How long do we have left?
We've got about 17 minutes, sir.
17 minutes, okay. One of the things, too, I think that's really critical that this is something that I think people need to understand. When Jesus said, there's never been a time like it, nor will be again, look at the context of all the events taking place right now. We're dealing to the right, to the left. We look up, we look down. Everything's coming at Earth almost as a orchestrated attempt to ultimately wipe out humanity. And this is the portrayal, and this is what some of the symbols are telling us. And again, the guys that decipher the symbols, they're running them through supercomputers. They're also putting them in the context. And there's a whole contextual accuracy of what language or what symbols the preponderance of weight is. So in essence, does it mean a big frog or a little frog? Well, the important point to me is it's a frog. But the point that I'm trying to get across is that every single one of these artifacts and the iconography on the artifacts and the symbols on the artifacts and the aliens on the artifacts, people will see, for instance, Doug, in the actual, there we go, thank you, Eric, when they'll see the aliens messing with the human DNA, and what you're seeing right there is multiple planets. You're seeing, if it's Rahab and you're seeing Earth or vice versa. But what we're seeing is the, and notice the three fingers and notice the clutching of the orb. And what's fascinating to me is that we're seeing a supra, S-U-P-R-A, supranatural manipulation and control, trying to literally wipe out the human race. That's why I use three terms: genocide, annihilation, and extinction. And Jesus said if he didn't shorten the days, God the Father didn't shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. And what does the devil gain on that? That's when the devil says, well, God, I've wiped out everything you've created. And that's just not going to happen. But it's going to look like it. And what's interesting is some of the guys who are doing the glyptionary translations, they're involved in science, scientific principles that are in such an advanced state of knowledge that, and by the way, it's really neat. God's given us amazing men and women who are, you know, top in their fields, but they are praying for the translations of they know what the symbols mean, but they're praying for the message. And the message is one that becomes more, how should I say this, more intense, more immediate, and more dire. And Doug, there's no injection or inflection. It's like a couple of them asked, can it, it's this is what it's saying. And when there's a problem in the glyph team, it's submitted to the entire team. And by the coolness and the wonderfulness of the living God, it you know, they get consensus, because nothing contrary to scripture can be true. On the other hand, and Jesse, was it on the first expedition? I think, yeah, first expedition. Well, actually on the second too, but you had to have spotters out there to keep, eyes open for the cartels. But you also had to deal with the foreign agents. Tell people when you lived in a previous apartment, well, how many people would follow you? Tell them how they would hand you off. Tell them that you would, because of your background, you had a pretty good, God's giving you a sense of discernment. Tell people, because I don't think they understand. They see it in a movie and they think, well, that can't be true. But share what you've dealt with, because I remember seeing the holes drilled in your bathroom wall from the three-letter people in the next apartment, and they didn't think you might have a mirror there. So share a little bit about that, because, again, everybody in the areas you're in Cartel Central, everyone's eyes are open and everybody's watching, and even we have to have teams watching. Is that not accurate?
That's accurate right there. The thing is this, Steve, just like you mentioned, I don't know if I've said this to the people, and you know, it's not something that I'm proud of, but this is who I am and this is my background. I became a product of my environment. I grew up in one of the most violent and hostile gang infested cities in California. And I grew up doing, as a kid, by the time I was 13, I was packing a gun already. And by the time I was 14, I was already in juvenile hall for using a gun. And, you know, got out. And as growing up, I would do chores for the mafia and, you know, run errands for them and, you know, do things for them. So when... you know, growing up in the way that I did, you know, I developed that extra sense and discernment to be able to know when someone's following me, whether it be another enemy who is on predator mode looking to gun me down, or, and believe me, I have gunshots all over my body. I have this eye right here, is my left eye is a stab wound. I got hit with probably like a 17-inch knife. Thank God it was that big, because it was unable to fully and completely penetrate through my brain. But I have my battle wounds that testify to my past. But it's this same type of past that, you know, in this hard life that I lived, that developed these senses and this type of discernment
where I'm able to know and to distinguish when someone's following me. And, you know, as of lately, I haven't been paying them much attention. And I know that I know I get tailed. I know I get tailed. And I know they still follow me. But in my previous apartment where I lived, I think 8 months ago, I was there for probably a year and a half, Steve. And one of my neighbors, my next door neighbors, they came and knocked on my door. And they're like, hey, are you doing any electrical installations and in your home? Is there any work that you're doing? I said, no, why? And they're like, well, because we have... They said, there's two giant holes in our wall and there's some electrical wiring going from our apartment into your apartment. And so basically what had happened is that the agents who were attempting to install cameras, hidden cameras in my home, used my neighbor's apartment. Knowing that I know they read my background, Steve, and in my background, I'm known to set booby traps. That's part of my history. And I know that they know that. And I know that that's one of the reasons why they didn't want to enter into my home, because that's on my file. And so what they did is they drilled some holes, but I had in that apartment, in that particular apartment, I had giant mirrors on that side of the wall and they didn't know that. So basically, in the process of them attempting to install these hidden cameras, my neighbors came home and the agents watching from the outside obviously had to know who my neighbors were, radioed to the guys inside, and they immediately had to abandon what they were doing inside the apartment and leave. So by the time my neighbors came in, they found that mess. It wasn't finished. It wasn't clean. But the way I see it is that it was God's intervention. Because there's moments, Steve, back then where, you know, where like, I feel like I can't handle all of this. I feel like I can't handle the attacks, and God shows up and he reveals to me, he tells me, don't give up. Whatever you do, do not give up. There is something good and something great coming from all this. And of course, people in their natural state, you know, would think of other things when God mentions something good, but when God says these things to me, Steve, you know, something good is the safety of my people. That's the best thing that I can get in the times that we're living in, knowing the things that God has allowed me to see. Something good is the safety of my friends, of you, Steve. Something good is, you know, is the preservation of you and Doug and all the people who work with me and all the people I love. That's the best thing that we can receive from God. But God says that there's something far beyond what you can't see right now that I am going to give you guys. And I hold on to that, Steve. And because of that, it gives me hope and it keeps me moving forward. But this thing that we're doing, whether it is that we're dealing with the agents or whether it is that we're dealing with cartels or supernatural entities and all of this trouble, all of this force, all of this intensity, I could just feel it in the back of, you know, of my nervous system and my neck. If it wasn't for God showing up in those moments where I just feel like I can't take it anymore, I wouldn't be here still being able to bring this forward to the people. But I know that this is why I mentioned earlier is that I know that God is going to approve us before them. I know that God is going to let them know. And when I say them, I mean everybody in general. God is going to manifest himself. The word says this, Steve. This is John chapter 14, verse 21. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. John chapter 15, verse 7. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. So I'm waiting for the manifestation of God's approval in our life. And he has already shown that to me with the victories that he has given us. But these victories has also brought different levels of attacks and different levels of higher entities that have come against us, Steve. And through these levels of dealing with the spiritual warfare and dealing with the doubt, with the uncertainty, and the demonic and spiritual attacks, it's a manifestation of God's presence, of him speaking, of him saying to me, my child, be patient. I'm going to show up.
Steve?
Excuse me. Well, I think it's critical that what we're dealing with in the realm of antiquities, aliens, all of that, I think the division that is going to come, and I'm going to say it, the division between believers that want to hold on to a false narrative, that want to hold on to, you know, well, everything will be good, just trust God. Yeah, you trust God. But when you have to trust God with your life every day, and when you have to basically deal with, and you know this, Doug, dealing in the battlefield isn't the same as when you're on vacation in Hawaii, not the island of Maui, of course. But the bottom line is that we're being confronted now by events beyond, number one, our understanding. And there's people that can explain stuff, and that's good. But also that are trying our emotions beyond anything. Now, how can any of us not even worry about, you know, 2,200 Maui children, 2,100, you know, being taken against their will, kidnapped, most likely trafficked, and the buses that everyone was looking for were at our military base. Oh, it just happens to have a runway. In essence, we can no longer turn a blind eye or choose to not see that. Well, I don't want to look over there. It's going to affect us all. It, the presence of evil, the different variations of evil, the different people of evil, the ones that are coming against us, and when I'm not only talking people, I want to say this, and the fallen ones, the hatred that the fallen angels and that the demons have for human beings is almost, there's no way to quantify it in a human mindset or a human mentality outside of the Word of God. And the Word of God, basically, when Jesus said he gives us power to, I've given you power to, step on serpents, over power of serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's something that's true, but it has to be applied. The theme of the Genesis 6 expeditions are to let you come and experience in the real world. And that's why this DVD is different than anything else we've done. It's you're with Jesse when he's shoveling. You're with the other team. You're looking. You're seeing this stuff. And remember, Doug, some people are seeing some of the stuff that the last time it was available was 6,000 years ago. That should give a sense of awe. And how is it that the timing of this expedition syncs and links up with a false narrative of the government's opening up a new website that's going to, you know, kind of be like a modern day Project Blue Book, which, by the way, J. Allen Hynek and the others that were involved in it, it was to control and contain anything that they didn't know about by putting it into a database. They then had access to the eyewitnesses, which they can tamper with. But now we're talking about events going to happen. I think this is what Jesse is absolutely presenting the world, that are going to defy everything they thought they knew, everything they expected. And I'm not talking about the things of the Word of God or Jesus. But the many faces of evil now are beyond just saying, well, that doesn't exist. You can't deny that evil has entered a new phase, and none of us are emotionally, intellectually, and we can be, but we have to choose to be spiritually aware and at war with the evil one.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man, you just wrapped it up again nicely. Jesse G, the man in the field for Gen 6 Expeditions. Folks, Gen6.com, Gen 6 Expeditions, Mexico Alien Artifacts Unearthed. It has been uncovered. And Steve, I want to thank you. Jesse, I want to thank you. And
thank
please,
you, Doug and Steve.
Be covered in our prayers, folks. That's how important this is. Hey, watch out for this DVD to come out shortly. Gen6.com, Gen 6 Expeditions. Have a good day.